Happy Easter to you all. This is a wonderful day of thinking and celebrating about Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. World-changing event, life-changing event for those who believe. And I'm so glad that you're spending a little bit of time with us today, joining in on this great day of celebration. And by the way, don't mind me, I'm just finishing up a chore here. A big thing, though, that I've been thinking about over the last number of days is why. You know, why would Jesus come into the world? Why would he suffer and die? Why would he spend 3 days in a tomb and then rise again? Why? Well, there's a great passage over in 1 Peter chapter 1. That sheds a little light on it. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Many words could be used to answer the question, why? But given here, is the one word that I want to mention today and focus on today. And it's mercy. Mercy. You see, the passage says, mercy has given us new birth. It's given us new life. It's that idea that mercy brings life. Well, what is mercy? Here's my best shot at it. Mercy is kindness when judgment is deserved. Let me say it again. Mercy is kindness when judgment is deserved. I got a story that might help with the understanding of that a little bit better. Several years ago, it was my birthday, and my wife Brenda told me, "Don't forget to get your license renewed." So I told her, okay. So at the end of the day, I stopped by at Petoskey's own Secretary of State office, walked in, grabbed my number, and glad to say, in a few brief moments, I got called up. So I handed my license over to the official, and the lady looked at me over her glasses like this. She was looking, giving me a stern look, and she said, "This has been expired for 3 years." I was like, no way. Well, we better get it going. Well, she got the paperwork going, and at the end of it, she said, "It comes to $40. And when I looked into my wallet, I only had $37. It was close to quitting time, and so I asked, "Could I drop the remaining dollars off the next morning?" And she said, "No can do." And she basically told me, "You better not be driving without a license again." And I was like, what am I going to do? And then this lady who had overheard what was going on, she walked over and she handed me $3. So I got renewed and I drove home legit. You see, mercy is when someone gives you a break, even when you don't have a break coming. It's like washing dishes on somebody else's day, even with a lasagna pan. Mercy brings life. Now, I want to talk about how mercy can give you life and how mercy can help you give life to others. There's a story in Matthew chapter 9 that really helps us understand how mercy brings life. Jesus saw this man sitting in a tax collector's booth. His name was Matthew. Tax collectors were viewed very lowly in Bible times. Now, I've known a few people who have worked for the IRS over the years, and it's kind of fun to kid with them about it. But back in Bible times, it was no joke. Tax collectors were seen as evil people, traitors. They were seen as scammers. And Matthew, or Levi, that was his Hebrew name, he was a Jew who had joined with the occupying power because tax collecting was an extension of the Roman government. Matthew and the others basically made their money by overcharging his fellow countrymen. Not cool, right? So Jesus sees this guy, and we know that Jesus has a heart for him. Another place, a little later in Matthew 9, it says that when Jesus saw those struggling, his heart broke for them. He saw them as harassed and helpless, like sheep not having a shepherd. So Jesus sees Matthew and he says to him, "Come, follow me." And something extraordinary happens. Matthew got up and he followed after Jesus. So what did Matthew do? Here's the first idea. Matthew willingly received mercy. Let me say it again. Matthew willingly received mercy. He received kindness from Jesus, even though judgment was warranted. This is the key for new life. It's the key for new birth, is choosing to accept the Lord's mercy. For those of you maybe listening in today who maybe you have not yet quite trusted Jesus and you haven't made him your leader, you haven't chosen to follow him, this is great because this is a map of how you do it. You willingly receive his mercy. And it all starts with this. It all starts with believing that you're in need. You understand that you have needs and that you cannot meet your own needs. You're not okay on your own. You need God's help. And this is what Matthew did. It might have been Matthew, for the first time in his life, being honest with himself that his life was a disaster and he couldn't fix it on his own. And so he follows Jesus and he starts a new life. It's amazing what happened in Matthew's life, because Matthew became one of the 12 disciples. He wrote a best-selling gospel. You could say it that way, but he wrote Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. So, but the big question here this morning, this Easter morning, is, are you willing to receive mercy? Look at what some verses in Ephesians chapter 2 say. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved through faith." Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 and 8. The key to receiving God's mercy is through faith. It's by faith. And I urge you, my dear friends, today to put your faith in Christ. Well, after Matthew followed Jesus, then they had a party. Jesus had a party at Matthew's house. And Matthew, who is now experiencing this new life because of mercy, he invites a bunch of his friends and his colleagues. Scripture says it this way, that many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with Jesus and his disciples. Matthew was giving mercy. He was giving life to others. This is an important thing. Think with me about it. Matthew was willing to give mercy. Matthew was willing to give mercy. He had received it. He had received it from Christ. And he wanted others to get it. So he chose to become an instrument of mercy. He was giving kindness even though the others, sinners, deserved judgment, the tax collectors, just like he had deserved judgment. But because of the working of mercy in his life, he becomes more others-centered, more others-focused instead of self-centered and self-focused. Oh, to be a fly on the wall at that party, to hear and see what was going on, to hear what they asked Jesus and to see how Jesus and his followers were treating those who had been treated with contempt and disrespect, to see how Matthew was reveling in all that God was doing through him. If you've enjoyed God's mercy in your life, a question I have for you, are you sharing it? Are you sharing his mercy with others? Are you sharing kindness, or sometimes this happens, we're sharing judgment, we're talking badly about others? Well, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying at the beginning of 1 Corinthians. Here's a passage. It says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." I call this a "so that" passage. A "so that" passage. We have received comfort. We have received mercy from God so that we can comfort others. So that we can give mercy to others. If we have been mercied, it's now in order that we give mercy because of Christ. Now, not everyone was thinking that way. You know, this all gets really challenged by some people that think differently. The Pharisees. The Pharisees were not on board with what Jesus was sharing here. The Pharisees, they were a group of religious people who were really focused on keeping the letter of the law. They were separatists. They prided themselves on separating from sinners, and so mercy took a back seat for them. The Pharisees were aware that Jesus had been eating with Matthew and with his guests, and these Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Well, Jesus, he answered their questioning by saying this: "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." These religious people, they could not understand what was going on. They were oblivious to what was happening. They think they're all right. They think sinners need to be called out, but they're not aware of their need for God's mercy. They're not aware of their need for the Lord's kindness in their lives. This is why Jesus says to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor. If you think you're healthy, you don't need me." That's in essence what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you guys are not poor in spirit. You're not dependent on God. You're dependent on yourselves. You see, they were all about calling out the sins of others while missing their own sins, their own rebellion, their own brokenness. You know, the sins of pride and arrogance, and their scorn and contempt for others. Because they did not see themselves as sick, Jesus is saying, you don't need a doctor. But the people that admit they're sick and that they need a doctor, the doctor is ready for them. Here's the thing. If you do not think you need that you have a need for mercy, then you won't understand it when someone else is offered mercy. And you'll be way less likely to give mercy to others. And my question is, that you? If you're perpetually harsh towards others, you know, you're always harsh, you're quick to judge them, you have a judgmental attitude towards the people around you, it may be that you do not recognize your need for mercy. You're not aware of your own sins the sins that are destroying your life. Lastly, Jesus said, I did not come to call those who are righteous, but sinners. For those that realize their brokenness and sinfulness, this is life-giving. They're jumping in line. But for those who really believe they are righteous, Jesus is saying that he's going to have no part with them. And I just want to make this so clear that every one of us needs mercy. We need the mercy of God. And Jesus' desire is not only that we get mercy, but that we give mercy. So what does it look like to give mercy? Mercy is not just an abstract idea, you know, kind of floating around out there. You know, I've got a thought here for you, an equation, if you will. Mercy equals a heart that cares plus concrete actions. Two things. Your heart cares about someone else beyond yourself. You are actually, you're trying and striving to understand them. Maybe you've been in their shoes before and you understand what it's like to be where they are. And because of this, you do something. Very simple. Some concrete action. Something that's definite and specific. Here's an example over in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. I want to challenge all of you to take what I'm going to call the mercy challenge. I want to encourage all of you in this week to come to be an instrument of mercy, which will lead you to some concrete action steps this week. Let me give you some examples. Like maybe it's letting go of a grudge that you have against someone. They deserve to have your grudge, but you're going to give them kindness. Or it may be forgiving someone, a family member that hurt you, actually letting go of it. Or here's another example. There may be someone in need that you know, and you may think, well, they were really irresponsible, and that's why they're in this position. They didn't save up for an emergency fund or what have you. They made some bad choices. And I want to encourage you to do what mercy says, which is set aside the deserved judgment and to give them kindness. I want to thank you so much for listening, and I want to pray as we end our time here. Dear God, I thank you for your mercy for us. I thank you for coming into our world and dying on a cruel cross and rising from the dead and showing us how to live. May we all strive to be mercy givers and life givers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Norm, for leading us to the Bible and the reality that new life, forgiveness, and mercy come through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for being a church Genesis that makes much of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, okay, I want to make much of Jesus Christ in the week to come with my life, I have some next steps, some real concrete things that you can do to just live out your relationship with Jesus Christ. Here we go. First of all, I encourage you to pray a prayer to accept Jesus Christ to be the Lord and leader of your life. Now, this can be a really simple prayer. Something like, Lord Jesus, I am a broken and sinful person. I need your mercy and I need your forgiveness. Please, Lord Jesus, come into my life and be my leader. It can be that simple and yet so profound. I know when I prayed to accept the Lord Jesus into my heart, It was the best decision I ever made in my entire life. And that is saying something because I have an incredible wife who's doubling as my camera woman right now. But I encourage you, pray that prayer if you haven't yet. It can change the whole trajectory of your eternity. And let us know. Please give us a text at 231-412-2866 if you've made a decision to follow Jesus, or put it in the comments or direct message us. Whatever you can do, let us know that that's a decision that you made today. Now, maybe you're somebody who already knows Jesus. I encourage you, take the mercy challenge. Find an area in your life where you can extend mercy to somebody in a concrete and tangible way this following week. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's somebody that you work with or a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody who cuts you off in traffic. Extend mercy. And last but not least, maybe you want to read more about mercy in the scriptures. We have some great materials for you. All you got to do to get them is ask us. Again, you can text us, you can direct message us, but we would love to get that into your hands this week. Thanks for being with us in church.